all the files of the whole park. It tells you everything.
Sir, he's uploading the virus.
Eagle One, the package is being delivered.
Last week, a video of Mark Zuckerberg emerged online, and while he displayed his trademark cold stare and creepy detachment to all known human emotions, what he was saying didn't seem right.
I wish I could keep telling you that our mission in life is connecting people, but it isn't. We just want to predict your future behaviors. Spectre showed me how to manipulate you into sharing intimate data about yourself and all those you love for free. The more you express yourself, the more we own you.
Did the Zuck really just admit to the ubiquitous and godlike power Facebook exercises over modern civilization? Nice try, but no, he did not, because the video was a deepfake. Motherboard reporter Sam Cole broke the massive story about how a group of artists and AI engineers made a deepfake video of Zuckerberg, saying things he would never say, then uploaded it to Instagram. Coming in the wake of the Nancy Pelosi deepfake video controversy, was a major troll of one of the most powerful people in the world to expose how the Silicon Valley giant he controls refuses to take steps against the proliferation of fake news on its platform. For this week's episode, Sam is going to tell us more about the hellish world of deepfakes and whether or not this stunt made Facebook think twice about its content policies. I'm Ben Maku, and this is Cyber. All right, so Sam, the deep fake beat, you own it. New York Times even bites your stuff, as we know. Would you say that this is maybe one of the most, maybe the biggest deep fake story that's happened so far, or one of them?
It's definitely the biggest one that's happened in recent months. I've been really fascinated by how big this has gotten as far as people talking about it and using it as like a way to theorize how deepfakes will affect the future in a really tangible way. That's something that we haven't seen yet so far in deepfakes, is how it's actually being implemented. So,
how did you first get into deepfake reporting, by the way?
It feels like ancient history now, but in late 2016, Motherboard found someone posting algorithmically generated porn on Reddit. So that's kind of where that began, because I was on the sex work and porn beat and also interested in AI. That was a perfect confluence of those things. Just kind of a right place, right time.
And it kind of did evolve from sort of this revenge porn aspect where people would put their ex-partner or somebody they were just morbidly obsessed with into a porn video as sort of this extortative, you know, troll revenge fantasy.
Yeah.
I mean, we fast forward now and it's like Zuckerberg is actually talking about ruling the world through Facebook, which is maybe not untrue.
Right.
But I think we're now, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, we're bordering onto the fact that this is actually going to start affecting politics and society.
Yeah. I mean, I think it already has affected society in a way. And definitely, I mean, politicians are talking about it. I think Biden said something about deepfakes like this weekend, talking about how he was never going to make a deepfake to further his campaign or something like that. The origins were using women's images without their consent. It was celebrities and porn performers, two groups that have tons of images of themselves out there. It's been really interesting to see it kind of evolve into being this panic of like, what if we had a Trump deepfake tomorrow? Would he like not launch nukes or something? The Zuckerberg.
I love how you like laughed about that. I just thought about that. I was like, shit, man. I don't know. Like maybe.
I always have to like have a caveat with that. It's like, it's not going to happen, but like one day I'm going to eat my words as like we're heading to the fallout shelters.
Yes.
That the Zuckerberg one definitely, it's kind of made, it's forced Facebook to restate and reevaluate how they deal with misinformation. They've had like misinformation policies for years, but since the 2016 elections, but it's really made them kind of assess how they're going to handle things like manipulated videos. The Zuckerberg one and the Nancy Pelosi one are both recent examples of that. So
So this story in particular, though, the goal of the artists and the AI engineers that made this deepfake video, they've done it before, but what were they trying to expose?
This came of like an art project in UK. It's an installation where you go in and they use your data to show you, I'm not really sure what, things about yourself, I think. The Zuckerberg deepfake was part of that art installation to kind of promote it. They didn't explicitly say that they were trying to like make Facebook do anything. They were just putting it out there as like, here's an example of, you know, one of the biggest like leaders in Silicon Valley saying things that he never said. So really just kind of targeting like speaking to the power of that platform. So, yeah, I think that was their intent with this, is to kind of poke the beast a little bit. They definitely succeeded in that. that's the video. If you watch it, he's talking about, like, control of stolen data and, like, controlling the future and things like that. So
it's very ominous.
It's very ominous.
It also seems like something he would say, or, like, yeah. It's like his wet dream.
It's what he's thinking about at night, yeah.
Yeah. breathing heavily.
The voice of it and, like, what he's saying is what tips it off to being fake. I don't think that it, like, if it's low quality and kind of scrolling through your feed, I don't know if it would look like a video of Zuckerberg. Like, it looks like him.
It would. I mean, here's the thing. It doesn't seem not like him.
Right.
You know, like,
that uncanny valley.
Yeah, it would make me take a double take it for sure. But I also, maybe I wouldn't take the time to really verify it. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. If you saw something that crazy in your feed, like a lot of people would just hit share, like rush to share it.
Yes. Yes. A lot of like share first, ask questions later kind of thing.
Exactly.
Do you think that this really came off of the heels of the Pelosi controversy?
I think so. I think they were working on this before the Pelosi video came out. But I think that it got the reaction that it did because of that video, because that wasn't an art project. That was meant to be to trick people into thinking that she was drunk. Like, that was malicious intent, definitely. Thousands of people shared that, millions of views on that. So it was just fortuitous timing, I think, on their part to release the Zuckerberg one right after that, because then that really did push these questions forward and kind of say, okay, will Facebook take this one down, because they didn't take down the Pelosi one. And they didn't. So,
I mean, has this video actually forced them to rethink what they're doing? Like, what has Facebook done in the wake of this?
We know that they have said they have told the artist who made the Zuckerberg one that, because of all the media scrutiny and because they're under a lot of pressure about misinformation, that they are having to kind of evolve these policies, basically. And they're constantly in flux and changing eternally. So, it might not be like a policy that's laid out publicly that they are changing, but they're definitely thinking about if their policies are robust enough into the future to prevent this kind of thing. I mean, they told us, their official stance on this is that they're going to treat all of these videos the same, no matter who's in them. If fact checkers marked it as false, then they downrank them so they don't show up on, like, hashtags on Instagram or in stories. And on Facebook, they're less likely to be, like, promoted by the algorithm in your feed if they're false, if they're marked false. So that's their stance now. I think it's a lot more complicated than that internally for Facebook, but that's what we know.
Why have they been so reluctant on this? I don't really get it.
Reluctant to take down the videos?
Yes. It seemed like it's so obvious to do that for the Pelosi video. Also, you know, there has been videos of, it's not quite deep fake, but it's certainly been edited of, you know, Trump like speaking really as if he's drunk or something. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been videos out there that have been borderline like, whoa, this is kind of misleading. I don't want to say fake news. I'm going to say fake news. But I don't understand why they don't have like a zero tolerance policy on this.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky because, I mean, they are in a catch-22 about this. If you start giving Facebook the power to take down everything that's that you deem as fake or satire, or you don't like that they're mocking your favorite candidate or whatever, that's definitely, I mean, that's not a road we want to go down. So it's, I mean, I think that a lot of experts agree that it's better to leave these things up and make them very clearly marked as not real.
So experts do agree that the best way to sort of thwart the advent of these types of videos is to say explicitly on them, these are false, these are not real.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, a lot of experts do. So yeah, it becomes kind of a First Amendment thing. It's like, well, is this speech that should be protected or not? Is this censorship if we take it down? The answer is usually yes. So yeah, there right now, if you share something that's later deemed as fake on Facebook, you get a notification that says, like, something you shared yesterday is not real. Here's some more information about it. So I think that's probably the best way to handle it right now. Obviously, these things are evolving so fast, so it's really hard to say what will be best in the future, but it's just damage control right now as far as misinformation on the platform.
Well, of course, you know, this story is not about hacking and some sort of, you know, shadowy group steals something, which is what we're usually covering here. But one thing I think that it really shows is the integrity of data going forward, and how once it's presented to the public and how we interpret it means everything. So, you know, I'm wondering, a lot of people when, especially in 2016, when you first started reporting on this, a lot of people were saying, you know, sort of sounding the apocalyptic alarm bell, saying, you know, deep fakes are going to ruin society, ruin our lives, ruin countries.
There is growing alarm over the use of altered videos online, especially those known as deep fakes, which are highly realistic looking and inaccurate. There are concerns about their growing sophistication and the risk they pose to national security.
Do you think that's actually possible, being someone who's so closely reporting on it? Do you think it does have posed that threat, quote unquote, to democracy, to the way we live our lives online?
I think it poses a threat, but I think the threat is how we perceive what is real and what's not. I don't think the threat is
just that.
It's very, you know, very simple, very straightforward. yeah, I think that's definitely the biggest threat is kind of educating people on how they share things, looking at things closely before they share them. Yeah, it's definitely a threat as far as coming up to the elections, like what will be seen as true and what's not. And especially, I mean, if you can put something out there that's real and people say, oh, this is fake, this is doctored, whatever. I mean, if everything is fake, nothing is fake. It's kind of that
mentality.
Yeah, it's I think that this is definitely not a new problem. I mean, we're dealing with the same kind of stuff as we were dealing with, like, the early internet. Like, what is real? What is real life?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see kind of how this plays out as far as the elections. But I don't think that we're going to see, like, people making fakes of politicians and then people mass believing them, because we have had so much awareness about deepfakes. And that's part of why we report on it. And a lot of research now is including, like, ethics statements, which has been really cool to see. They're definitely engineers are thinking about this before they put it out in the wild, so.
In what way? What do you mean?
I mean, so it used to be that, you know, you would put out a research paper and it would just be, like, open source, whatever. You know, you'd be very open about what you'd done and what you'd made, but, like, then you leave it to the media or ethicists or yeah, those groups to kind of grapple with how to deal with it in society. And now those questions are being asked, like, in the papers themselves. Like, there will be a section on ethics statements, things like that. So it's kind of people are getting ahead of
pre-addressing the questions that will be surrounding the technology.
Right, exactly. And kind of saying, like, we're putting this out there for this reason. Like, we're not just doing it because we can. Like, we're doing it to raise awareness on, like, methods or to improve, like, detection, things like that.
It almost seems like deepfakes, in terms of a political standpoint, could easily just be sort of this evolution of rumor, right?
Yeah.
How people used to spread rumors about counter candidates that they're against.
Yeah.
Except this time you have an actual, it could be like Donald Trump saying something racist. And it looks like he's actually saying it. Oh, that he actually does say those things. Something, you know, I don't know what else, like declaring war on someone. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like it's just sort of an evolution of that. And it's really up to us whether or not we're going to believe them or not.
Right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did anyone believe, that you know of, at least en masse, believe this Zuckerberg video? Like, did anyone report on it being like, Zuckerberg said this?
I don't think so, because we set the tone on that. Like, we were the first to write mm-hmm. about that. So we,
that's right, we
it was
broke
about,
it.
It was about it being a deepfake. So, I mean, that's kind of, that's something that I'm seeing a lot of people talking about. Like, oh, it looks so fake. Like, this is obviously fake. Who would fall for this? And it's like, well, you mm-hmm. know it's fake because I told you it was fake. Like, mm-hmm.
exactly.
If it showed up on your feed organically and he was saying something else, he was saying something really boring, and it was like his voice, but, you know, his mouth and everything, it was not his words, people would probably believe it.
It also looked pretty real.
I thought it looked pretty real.
I mean, the thing I keep seeing with ever since I've, you know, was aware of deepfakes mm-hmm. is like just how closer and closer it's getting. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing it as like is this video itself perfect yet?
Right.
I'm like, wow, that's getting closer and closer to the possibility where a deep fake looks exactly like reality. I think that's the thing that I'm waiting for, which,
yeah.
you know, if you look at the deep fake now, you look at that one in particular versus one that was a year ago, and it's still a massive difference.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's improved so much, and they're improving as far as the methods that they use them or they make them with. They can make them with fewer images now. I used to take a data set of like thousands before, and now it's as few as like 1 to 8. Some researchers
wow.
are making them with. Like, that was the one they made Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
So that's been really interesting. They're making them with just text inputs now. So you can just type in what you want them to say and it'll generate it. And the use case for these is like, to not recut a scene or to not re-record like something if you're making a movie,
mm-hmm.
Which takes a long time and is a lot of like manpower. But if you could just type in and say, let's change that line. But I mean, that's very easy for anyone to do also. So,
so you say that Biden weighed in on this in terms of, he actually said his campaign would never produce a deepfake. Like, he even knows what a deepfake is, but how do you see this sort of affecting the political landscape going forward? I mean, this is something that a lot of people have been wondering about. I can tell you I've spoken a lot to disinformation people, and they can't tell me exactly what 2020 will look like, but mm-hmm. the consensus is it's going to be a hot mess of chaos. Do you think deepfakes will play a part in this?
I mean, yes. I think so. I think just the fact that we're talking about it means it will play a part. I think that Congress people have been using deepfakes as like a buzzword almost to talk about. They're using it interchangeably with like disinformation. So yeah, I do think that it will play heavily in the political spheres, but I don't know. It's hard to tell how much of that is like punditry and how much is real. Yeah.
Because there's always this concept, and I wanted to ask you about it, how potentially a nation state could start using deep fakes to sort mm-hmm. of plant misinformation about certain people within other governments that they dislike mm-hmm. or their targets of theirs, etc.
Yeah.
Do you think, have you seen any evidence of that, or is that something you think could happen?
It happened in Malaysia. There was a video where it was hard to tell if the video was a deepfake or not, and it was being reported on like, is this a deepfake? We don't know. I think it ended up being real at the end, but that's kind of that example of like everyone questioning real things.
And what was it again? It was
It was...
One of the candidates was caught having sex with another man, right?
Right. There was a video going around...
People were saying...
That people were saying that it was him.
Economic Affairs Minister Dato' Sri Mohammad Azmin Ali has denied reports on a sex video purporting to implicate him. In a statement issued on Wednesday evening, he said, quote, "I categorically deny this vicious libel upon me. This is nothing but a nefarious plot to assassinate my character in an attempt to destroy my political career."
And then another video was posted where he was, like, giving an address and saying, I don't remember if he confessed that it was him or not. He was, like, giving an address about it, and people were like, oh, that could be a deepfake.
Right.
Which, I mean...
Just the fact that it's even being introduced in the conversation.
That it's a question at all is interesting. Yeah, so I think we are seeing it being used in other countries, but yeah, not super widespread yet. But just the fact that it exists and it's out there,
I guess, like, the future is we'll tell whether or not this will become a real weapon.
Yeah, I think
which is frightening.
Right, it's hard to just say we'll wait and see, but. There are a lot of people smarter than me working on this. So.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it from an intelligence operations standpoint, and I would say the real value of it isn't to sort of take down someone, mm-hmm. because I think eventually when something is fake, it'll likely be exposed as fake. But then, mm-hmm. you know, you look at, like, the Soviet era and the way that they manipulated photos and images. Stuff went by that was completely accepted as truth, and mm-hmm. it was manipulated by Stalin or whoever else.
Right.
But I think, for one thing, if you look at the way that, you know, Russia and how it's actually undertaken its influence operations or its misinformation, and mm-hmm. all it's done is to try to promote chaos within a system, not necessarily to break it, mm-hmm. but to disorganize it.
Right.
And I see deepfakes as sort of a potential for that, because even if you look at this one in particular, like, that's what it did. It mm-hmm. made it destabilized Facebook, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't something that Facebook had done.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's. That's definitely a really good point. Just these are not necessarily, it's not that we need to have an answer on things or whether it's true or not. It's that the question is being asked to begin with, and that there's this uncertainty in the air about it. The fact that Facebook is kind of assessing its own policies around this just because of this one art piece is pretty... amazing.
Yeah. Multi-billion dollar companies are challenged by a group of artists and some AI engineers. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think, you know, deepfakes are going to go next that a lot of people are not looking at?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that they're just going to keep getting more and more realistic. It's the pace is crazy as far as how fast it's gotten more real. I think we're going to see more just manipulated video, period. It's like with the Pelosi one, that wasn't a deep fake. That was just, a video of her slowed down a little bit. So she was slurring her speech. So I think we'll probably see more of that. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, the fact that we're seeing so many people working on this issue and, like, trying to detect fake videos and kind of trying to democratize how that works has been really fascinating to see. I think we're going to see more, like, private companies get in on this game. One of the groups that made the Zuckerberg one is basically, like, an ad agency. They're, like, they're making ads, like, custom bespoke deepfakes. So
that seems not good.
Yeah. Well, it's...
Of course, capitalism will find a way to exploit something super evil.
I think that's just the next natural step to this. It was always going to end up being a capitalist venture, just like everything. But, I think that normalizes it a little bit.
Also, this is like, what is the value of a deepfake? Thinking about it, like, what good does a deepfake bring? What good could it bring?
Hollywood uses deepfakes all the time. Like, they use them to swap in, like, Carrie Fisher in Star Wars and, like, things like that. That's kind of the example everybody brings up. But it's always been, like, a big budget thing.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, just the good of it. I mean, I don't...
that also hardly seems like a good thing. So.
Right. it was a creepy moment.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, whoa, man.
Yeah, I think artistic uses like that are definitely... I mean, they're not bad. They're definitely interesting and worth talking about. I think the good of making them and improving the technology is a lot of times just having these conversations and talking about things like censorship and body autonomy online and things like that. Who owns your face? So yeah, just as a thought experiment, deepfakes are good. I don't know. Good is a weird word for it, but
it is. But it's also telling that this technology really emerged in earnest to exploit women.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, that's kind of fell into the wayside as far as how we talk about deepfakes. It's a lot of like politicians and who will influence the election by using a deepfake. But I mean, we've seen there was a journalist in India that was targeted by a deepfake and just horrible fallout from that. I think it's still happening. All the issues around it as far as like who owns our images online, things like revenge porn. Mm-hmm. Those are still big issues outside of deepfakes, but deepfakes kind of brings them to the fore. So yeah, I guess that's a good outcome of this very buzzy topic.
Well, on that note, it was good to have you on Cyber again. Yep. Glad we weren't talking about PewDiePie.
Oh my God, I'm so glad.
But we will probably have you on again to talk about deepfakes.
Cool, thanks Ben.
Thanks. This week's episode was recorded and edited by Dean White, produced by Lorenzo Franceschi Bicchirai, and hosted by me, Ben Maku. You'll be hearing from us next week.